The Bible study this week will be split up between myself and Bill Lehman. I will have the first few days and he will have the last few. And if there are any in between, we'll hope that they can be filled. And something of what I'm going to say, I hope will be preface and prelude to what his plan is for the end of the week. One of the things that, for those of you who are new here, we've been doing a whole series, and this week will kind of be not quite as much of a series, but will more or less for me be an extension of what I did last week, namely the struggle of man as he stands before God and has to face himself and God, feel the struggle of God, feel the struggle himself with others, with woman, with life. And the extension of this is to take us into a couple of other places of the Old Testament that we very rarely go and help us feel something of the struggle that's there and how it's important. And one of these places is in the book of Proverbs. What we discover about the Old Testament when you really look at it is that it's not just, you know, a theology of the Old Testament, one lovely, neat teaching, but a lot of different teachings, a lot of different theologies, each with its own basic central thing that's important. One central thing that the person is trying to get at, and everything relates to that. And one of the things that's happening in theology today, I don't think I've even used that word in my devotions in the morning, is this, that try and find out what is the center. What is that one central thing that you find in Scripture whereby you're going to judge the value and the importance of something else that's in Scripture? What is that one thing that's central to it all so that you can have a way of judging the others and putting it in them in their right perspective? And this search for a center has been very important. But it's not really just a search for center in the Bible. It's also a search for center, something that's central in your own life as well. And so if I were to look at you this morning and say, what's the one thing that you search for most of all? What is that one thing that really gives your life meaning and you keep looking for it and keep going back to it as the one important thing in life? And we wrote a little song, Bob Lindstrom and I, which is sort of addressed to Beanie as one of the wise men, as it were, of Holden Village, who's been here for many years. And this song essentially says the same thing, but it says it in poetry. I can't remember all the words, and Bob Lindstrom's not here, and he has my copy of it, but this is the opening line, for example. Laugh me a song, sing me a song, your song. I must go out on the road before long. Play me the chords that are deep in your soul. What is that thing, your thing, that makes a man whole? Spin me your dreams, open your dreams. I must go out in a world full of games. Tell me that secret in you that is true. Tell me that one thing in me meant for you. Another verse reverses that. Tell me that one thing in you meant for me. And that's just it, isn't it? That problem of searching and keeping one thing. You can say to lots of people, all right, go out and do good. Love your brother. Be kind to him. But what's the central thing gives you the meaning for it all, the reason for it all, the power to go out and do it somehow, and to find meaning in all of the things that you do, some center to your life. Now there's one book in the Old Testament that really is so single-minded that it has only one thing that it's after, and that's the book of Proverbs. And that one thing is a thing called wisdom. Wisdom. Now, the book is full of all sorts of things, but behind it all is this one center and this one search. Let me just give you a feel of the kind of things that end up being important to this person after they have searched for this one center. And these things are, for example, and this is full of humor. Proverbs is a very funny book, but nobody ever notices the humor that's there. Let me just read a couple of these. The north wind brings rain, backbiting brings an angry look. It is better to live in the corner of a brewery than to share a house with a contentious woman. A whip for a horse, a bridle for an ass, a rod for the back of fools. Or another one, over the page here. It is better to live, the continual dripping on a rainy day and a contentious woman are the same thing. It goes on and on with these kinds of things. Pressing the, he who quarrels, meddles in a quarrel not his own, is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. You can go on and on with these. Pressing milk produces curds, pressing the nose produces blood, pressing anger produces strife. You go on with all these little things about life. And behind it all is this one idea that there's a central order to everything. And that's called wisdom. That in this world there's a thing called wisdom that God planted there. A plan. A plan of things that underlies it all. And right back in chapter 8, which is the important chapter I wanted to talk about this morning, God says that he made this wisdom at the beginning of the world and put it there to order everything. And that order, that plan, that center, is something that relates not just man to man, not just God to man, but God to man, to nature, to the world, to the things we do. And that there's a relationship between the fact that iron sharpens iron and one mind sharpens another mind. That there is a center to it all. An underlying center. And it talks about this wisdom as being that order of things, that power of things that was put there at the very beginning, before God made anything, in fact. Just listen. The Lord God created me. Wisdom is talking. And wisdom talks to us, as it were, in the world. It addresses you from the mountains, from the trees, from the little child, from your friend, and says, listen to me. I'm wisdom. I can give you a way to live. A way to live. I can give you a way to live. The Lord created me at the beginning of the world, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up at the first from the beginning, when there were no big dirty deeps, I was there, brought forth. When there were no springs, no mountains, no earth, no heavens, I was there. Before the skies and the sea, I was there. Then I was beside him, God, like a master workman. I was his daily delight, rejoicing with him always. Can you see God and wisdom dancing in nothingness at the beginning? God and wisdom. God and the ordering of things, the plan, the way to go. And now, all through this book of wisdom, there's just this one idea. I want to find that one way that makes meaning. And it never ties anything about the Exodus. It says nothing about the great acts of God. It says nothing about history. Nothing about all of those things that we think are so important. But it's there, that center. Now, if we go to the New Testament, what happens? What happens to that way that gives meaning to life? Where does it move? Does it stay back there at the beginning of time? No, it rumbles on and rumbles on until a man like Paul comes along and says, you know where that way to find meaning is to be found? Where that wisdom comes to the surface? Where you can really see that way? I'm not going to answer the question just yet, as to what Paul says. I'm going to stop I'd like to stop and be willing and honest enough to say that you do what Paul says you have to be ready to do at any moment. Tell me what thing you think is the most important thing in your life. What's the center that gives everything meaning? Or don't you have one? Ed?
Freedom to act responsibly.
Freedom to act responsibly. Dave? Be involved in those things which are the real needs of life. Janine? Dying to live. All right. John?
Interacting with people.
Interacting with people. Carl? God. Now it's easy to flip off an answer, and it probably was a little hard at first to say that answer. Now, Janine said dying to live. That's a great answer. I wonder how easy it is, because we are Christians, to have just said an answer like that, and yet not really to know what you're saying. Whether it really means something all through your life that you've got this center, or whether you say it very differently a month from now or a year from now. Carl said God. Paul would go back and say, there has to be one center. I know no one else and nothing else save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That somehow Jesus Christ has to be the way that we learn to die to live. The way that we interact with people, the way that we know God, the way that we learn to be responsible in freedom, the way that we find involvement in the real needs of life. That He is to be that one motivation somehow, and that's the struggle to know how, to help us to find how I can be responsible, I can interact. And so what I'd like to ask you this day, maybe all through the week, dare to go up to every person in the village this week and say, what is it that makes you tick? What is it that makes you what you are? What's the secret in you that's you? Why do you believe in Jesus Christ anyway? How does it make any difference at all? Does it make any difference? What is the center of your life, my friend? What's the center that makes you do what you do? Think about it. We'll come back tomorrow.